Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. And with us this week is Christopher Yao, Director of Physical Therapy at JFK University Medical Center and JFK Johnson Rehab. Good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, it's perfect timing because it is rehab week, so we're going to learn all about it. So let's start here. So you're at JFK, but what's the road you took and what led you to become a PT?
Sure. It was actually kind of a random thing. I was at a family party at first. I always knew I wanted to be in healthcare. Mm-hmm. But at first, I wanted to be a nurse because I had a few aunts that were nurses. And I was at a family party one time, and my aunt recommended, hey, why don't you check out physical therapy? So I actually volunteered here at JFK for 40 hours, and that's kind of where it kind of snowballed from there. So I got my 40 hours in here. I did biology as an undergrad, and I went to DPT school to get my doctorate.
Let's talk about therapy then, the benefits of therapy. What do you tell your patients or what do you tell people about getting therapy or when they need therapy?
Sure. So, first of all, as a PT, we're licensed healthcare providers. We're basically movement experts who team up with, doctors, also PTAs. But in general, what we do is we help patients avoid surgery, trying to rely on prescription drugs. We want to maximize your mobility. We want to manage your pain. And we also want to treat your chronic conditions and improve your overall physical function and fitness. So that's kind of how I start off with my patients. And then we go through a few different things. It really depends on the patient. And we want to make sure that's like part of the important part of getting to know our patients. We want to make sure that it's not just like a general rehab exercise program. We actually want to cater to you and your deficits.
Is there any type of preventative care or do they come to you? When do they get to you?
Well, we tend to see patients after they already have some pain or some problems with it. We also do prehab, which is basically like if you have a planned surgery going on or anything like that, we want to teach our patients what to do before the surgery. So after the surgery, they are able to do more with less pain and overall just better function. But we treat a lot of orthopedic conditions, but we also go into a lot of neurological conditions as well over here at JFK.
Okay, can you give us an example?
Sure. So as far as neurological, we treat a lot of strokes. We are kind of known as a stroke hospital, but not only that, we go into spinal cord injuries. I actually treat a lot of Parkinson's disease. And I guess some less common things that people wouldn't think about is like post-COVID patients as well.
Tell us about all the benefits of therapy, the goals of therapy, like how that works. You have a particular patient, you set a goal for them. Depending on what kind of situation they're dealing with.
Can you ask that again one more time? Sorry.
As far as the goals that you would set for a patient once they come in, like what's the ultimate? The ultimate goal is to have no issues whatsoever, but I'm sure that doesn't happen all the time.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're right. So the ultimate goal is to get back to where you were. But unfortunately, there are some cases and situations where, there are chronic diseases where some are progressive or some are a little bit more major. But we want to set goals that are not only safe for the patient, but we want them to get back to where they feel like they're normal again, right? So, for example, like for a stroke patient, and they want to get back to gardening or going back in the backyard or anything that they like to do. We like to progress them along to make sure that hey, are they able to do that safely? But if not, we can kind of modify it so they are safe in that environment again. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it might take some time, but I think that's where the part of the physical therapist comes into play, where we help them along with the tough parts of it. And I think the important part about being a PT is being able to kind of relate with your patients, because we do see them a lot more than their normal doctor. Because what I've noticed with doctors, they see them every 2 or 3 months, but with us, they see us maybe 2 or 3 times a week. So we really get to know our patients in that sense. And in the beginning of our, our treatment sessions or like once we get to know the patients, like that's when we really set more goals and we can modify our goals as well to make them a little bit more, personable.
Now, do you set a possible end date for therapy, or do you have to, it's kind of like a wait and see thing to see how they're progressing once you get started?
We do set like a certain amount of visits in the beginning, but we also do what we call progress notes every month or every 10 visits. So that's when we kind of get to reevaluate our patients. Say, are we making any gains? Or are they seeing any progress? And then from there, we might have to modify even for the worse, or even for the better as well. You know, we do get a lot of patients that are doing very well. They do a lot at home, even outside of here, and then that's when they really get that progress.
So there's always homework involved.
Oh yeah, always. Even if it's not like you know, like a 3 sets of 10 type thing, it might be like, hey, why don't you go do the dishes today and see how you feel? Or I want you to go upstairs and get sleep in your own bed instead of the living room for that day.
Oh, okay. So if it's as extreme as that, where they have difficulty climbing the stairs.
Right. And I see that a lot, in all diagnoses, not only just like, for example, a knee replacement, like that could be for like a stroke patient as well, or a Parkinson's patient.
Well, what are some of the most common diagnoses?
For here, you know what it is about here? We get a little bit of a mix of everything. So today, for example, I'll give you an example. So today, yeah. I had a knee replacement, and then I had a ACL reconstruction. But then my next patient is a Parkinson's patient, and then I'll have a stroke patient, and we also treat like our dizzy patients as well.
Your dizzy patients?
Yes. So, for example, I don't know if you've heard of the word vertigo before.
Sure.
Yeah. So we treat that here as well, and that's kind of one of the things that are, I guess, you wouldn't really think of as a physical therapist would be treating, right? Because you would think that you would go to the doctor or even like an ear, nose, throat doctor, but then those doctors would actually send their patients over here to get treated for vertigo.
I know the vertigo is when you get kind of dizzy. You said dizzy. But what exactly is it? Because is it something that comes and goes? Can you have it for a long period of time? And if you do, what do you do? What is the treatment for it?
Sure. So vertigo, technically, it is. It lasts about 60 seconds. It normally happens when a person like rolls out of bed, mm-hmm. and then they get this intense like spinning sensation where the room feels like they're spinning. And, you know, sometimes it makes you nauseous, but it usually goes away after 60 seconds. So that's like kind of like the hallmark trend of true vertigo. And the treatment for it is actually a very interesting maneuver. It's called the Epley maneuver. And it's usually done with the therapist. We can teach our patients how to do it at home, but that gets a little risky because you do get that dizziness sensation with it. But as far as treatment, and depending on like how long they've had it for, it usually goes away after like 5 or 6 visits.
And how often do they get it? And does it happen? You said when you get up out of bed, but could it happen while you're driving or something like that?
I haven't heard it while driving, but I have heard them say that it could just be sitting and it happens too. Or even when they're just standing, walking, doing their normal things. Like, for example, like when you bend down, I hear that pretty often, or when you look up for a long period of time as well. And it does happen daily, like usually, mm-hmm. it's usually daily. But as the treatment goes along, what I hear a lot is, hey, they only happened to me like once this week.
Okay, and is this something that, because, you know, we've all like maybe stood up too quick and we got a little dizzy. That's
right.
That's totally different.
Yeah, I would call it, well, it depends, but I would think that would be more of a lightheaded feeling. And that wouldn't be vertigo, though. That would be more of a blood pressure change.
So that's not vertigo. I'm glad you cleared that up, because I always knew it was something where you got dizzy and you know, I'd hear stories would say, oh, I had vertigo. And
yeah,
I just never
I hear
really,
that a lot.
What'd you say?
I hear that a lot, too, as well.
Yeah, so yeah. You're not really sure. If you don't have it, you don't know exactly what it is. So thanks for clarifying.
Right. Yeah, the hallmark sign is like the room is spinning. Sometimes it feels like you're spinning, which is something a little bit different, but the room is spinning, that's definitely the vertigo.
We're talking with Christopher Yao, Doctor of Physical Therapy at JFK University Medical Center and JFK Johnson Rehab. Some of the treatments of the orthopedic and the neurologic patients that you have there, are they totally different?
You know what? The interesting part is people do think it's different. And as a young therapist, when I first started off, I was treating it very differently. But what I've noticed over time, and you know, as far as when I started taking a lot of my continuing education courses, is it does cross over a lot.
Okay.
So for example, like if I had a stroke patient who had right-sided weakness, and you know, I'm treating the weakness part of it for a very long time and just the walking part of it. But then the next time he comes in, he said, "Hey, my back pain, my back is starting to hurt." And I think that's when it really starts to cross over, because the back pain could be coming from the weakness of the right side, but and now I'm not able to do as much with him because that back pain is bothering him so much. So that's when, you know, my orthopedic brain kind of crosses in there and really kind of goes into, hey, how do I treat both the neurologic part of this and also the orthopedic part of this? Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it gets really interesting for me, honestly. It changes my treatment plan for the day, and honestly, until like that back pain kind of comes back to where it was, where I could go back to doing the high level, I guess, neurological treatment of that person.
Do you have a specific treatment plan that's pretty much the same for each ailment that, or each person, each case, or is it really a case by case basis where you have to write up? It's like writing up a new menu every time.
I would say I don't have like a set plan, you know, when I first meet a person or anything mm-hmm. like that, because when I was in school, you get taught by the textbook, you know, all the black and white stuff. And mm-hmm. then once you get back, when you get into the field, you start noticing, Hey, you know, not one person is black and white, you know, they're what, 50 years old. They've gone through life. They've gone through a lot of things. They played sports or anything like that. So I can't really say that I have like a, you know, like a set menu. Like I always mm-hmm. have like there might be some cases where, like, you know, some of the exercises do cross over between patient and patient, but I wouldn't say, like, they're all going to be completely the same.
Okay, so you wouldn't have, like, a sheet of paper, all right, here's what we're going to do for a shoulder injury, and that's set. Mm-hmm. Anybody comes in with a shoulder, you got it right, ready to go, or same thing for a stroke. You mix it up depending.
No, I mix it up. I always try to mix it up. I always treat every patient as, like, an individual once they walk in the door. I think the only time when I really do reuse exercises, I guess, is like a post-operative patient, because that has to be done, you know, like, especially because a lot of those patients do come in with protocols after surgery as well, you know, so some of those will start off the same, but then after those few things, that's when I really, you know, use my own exercises or see what depending on what I see.
Are you familiar with the, since we're on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, let's talk sports, Charlie Manuel, the former Phillies manager?
I don't follow baseball much, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So it just happened a few days ago where he was having a minor procedure and he had a stroke.
Mm.
So fortunately, he was already in the hospital and he was taken care of. So when someone like that, and I guess it's different for every stroke. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But you know, someone after they're able to be released from the hospital and they get to you, what's the process? What would be the process there?
So I always like to get a history of what's going on. So I'll just go through like a little initial evaluation with you. So I always take a person's history first. And then just get a general idea of how they're doing at home, what they're doing currently, what therapy they had already. Because I'm already at the outpatient level, so they've already probably gone through the acute care. They've probably gone through inpatient where they've already been taught a few things. And then for me, I like to see, hey, what's going on here? So how much weakness they have? How are they doing with things like getting up from the chair, getting up from the bed, rolling in bed? And in general, just how they're walking too. And then I take it from there, you know, if they have stairs at home, I always ask them that. We'll go through that. And then we'll check out your balance. And I just want to see like how, depending on like what level they're at, but if they're able to walk fast or anything along those lines.
We're talking with Christopher Yao, Doctor of Physical Therapy at JFK University Medical Center, JFK Johnson Rehab as well. Following through with the home exercise program, do you run into it, or can you tell when they're not doing their home exercises? And if so, what do you do to get them to start getting it done?
So I get this question a lot. The home exercise program is going to be very important. It's paramount, honestly, because just think about it this way. I see them, we do 30-minute sessions here, mm-hmm. then I see them about twice a week, right? Then I always put it to them this way. So if I'm going to see you for 30 minutes and that's about an hour a week, so about 40 hours a month, right? I always try to picture them, say, hey, you know, I mean, we're doing good stuff here, but imagine what we could be doing if you carried it on at home, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't just have to be at home as well. You know, there are some patients that want to do this at the gym, right? Or like a fitness center, or even like a wellness program, which we all offer here at JFK. But it's just going to be important for you to be compliant with this home exercise program. And it does sometimes take some convincing, you know. I think what's important is like when we do like a progress note or reevaluation, say, show them, hey, you know, we're doing well, you're getting better. There's still a little bit of pain, but imagine where you could be at if you kept up with everything. And I think just going back to setting goals with the patient during an evaluation, I think that's when patients really, really, really like get into therapy. You know, they say, hey, you know, he's actually working towards my goals and not just, you know, just kind of going through the motions.
And that inspires them to do their part to get to the finish line quicker.
Right. Exactly.
So what's an example of an exercise? I don't know. Give me an example of an injury and then what the program would look like.
Sure. Let's see. Let's go with ACL reconstruction.
Mm, okay.
So in the beginning, like we were speaking about before, it's in the beginning, it's a lot of the doctor's protocol. You know, just in the very beginning, we'll do a few exercises. Just get the leg moving. But then as we progress along, I like to get my patients into more weight-bearing exercises. So it could start off with a simple, like, sit-to-stand from the chair. And then as this person gets a little bit better, we could move on to air squats, where she's not supported as much, or he or she is not supported as much, but they're still working their quads, their hamstrings, their hips, and more of their glutes. And then from there, I'd like to get a little bit more dynamic as we get along. Maybe I'll move on to maybe something a little bit more like a deadlift or even like a kettlebell deadlift. And even if they're not ready for all that weight, I could just be using them as like an air deadlift type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll move on to using like something at home where they could use their steps, where we could use like a step up. And then we could work on their single leg balance where they're doing a step up and the other leg's up in the air. And then I would also like to move on to things where she's or he or she are working on the balance of the single leg.
That's more than I thought. I mean, can it be overdone? Like when they're with you, everything you have them do, but have you had patients overdo it at home? And then they come in and like they re-injured themselves somehow?
I have had that situation before, but I always tell my patients even before they leave the building, like, you know, listen to your body. You know, we did 10 here. Do you think that you could do another 10 at home, right? And then if they're able to do that 10 the next time I see them, I would probably progress them up to maybe 20, and even if they're doing really good, maybe up to 30. So it really depends on like how they're doing. But I always tell my patients, hey, listen to your body. You know it best. You know, if it's really bothering you, if it is a knee patient that I'm speaking of, you know, maybe throw, put some ice on it, let it rest for the day. If you're feeling up for it the next day, maybe you could try it out, but otherwise, you know, come back to me and we'll see like how you're doing and what we could do to kind of solve this situation. Cause it could be like a form thing or like something you were doing while you were tired. So it's always very important to get like that feedback from your patients each and every session.
Yeah. Is there like a list of don't do this? Because people, if you're a runner or you play on a softball team or basketball, or you like to go to the gym every day, obviously, you have to cut back on this. How do they know what's too much? Because they're eager to get back to what their normal life, right?
Right, exactly. And I always tell my patients, I don't like telling them not to do something, but there are situations where that is going to happen. So, for example, you were asking, like for a runner, right? Mm-hmm. So they really want to get back to running. They maybe sprain their ankle or something along those lines.
Or an ACL.
Or ACL, that's a good one too. So I think a good example of that is maybe you could tell them to go into a pool and do some running in there where it's less weighted on your mm-hmm. everything on your knee or your ankle, for example. And so there are like modifications that I would recommend before they want to go straight back to it where they could possibly re-injure themselves.
Right. So if I say, hey, listen, I want to hit the street, start running again, you would say, no, you're not totally not ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends, right? So I would always try to see like how they are in clinic first. So if if they wanted to go running again, I would have them do it in the clinic first.
Okay.
So whether that be, you know, overground or we have treadmills as well here, that could be the case. But I always want to see like how they're doing here before I tell them to go, especially something like vigorous like that. You know, running on the street is kind of vigorous after an ACL reconstruction.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever look at a patient when they come in for the first time and think to yourself, yeah, I don't think they're going to get back to where they were before, but we're going to do the best we can? And have you ever thought that, if you have, and then they ended up exceeding the goal that was set before them? I'm looking for a feel-good story here. Where someone thought they wouldn't be able to participate in whatever again, and then you took them to where they could certainly do that and more.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of examples of that, to be honest with you, because a lot of patients that I get, especially like the pain patients, especially, I tend to see a lot of those where they're like, hey, I don't think I can ever like go back to gardening or to even like lifting 10 pounds off the ground anymore. Right. And I think it's important that you show them that they can do that. And just give them that uplifting mood for that, because without that encouragement, you know, they're always going to think that way. They're going to be like, no, I this is it. You know, I need help with everything. This is all I can do for the rest of my life. And I think that's where it's really important for us to show them that, hey, let's try this out. We'll do it in an easier way. You know, we'll try it out for a few sessions. We'll go less intense for now. And then if that's feeling good, we'll ramp it up a little bit. But it really has like a great effect if you really show them that, say, hey, you know, this is it. You know, we can do this together. And I think that teamwork is really, really going to be the most important part for those type of patients.
Right. They just have to follow your direction, right? And everything usually works out fine. If they don't overdo it, and they don't underdo it.
Right, right. And that's the thing, too. Like, you don't want to overdo it, and you definitely do not want to underdo it as well. You know, I think some patients or some people, some personalities just need a little bit more of the push, and some patients need a little bit of the, I need to like ramp it down a little bit before we get back all the way up there.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of people who may come to therapy for a couple of weeks and they're like, I don't have time for this. I'll do it myself. And that couldn't be a bigger mistake.
Right. And you know what? That does happen too. I've had patients where, you know, life happens, right? You know, like an injury happens, but then their life kind of something happens in their life and they have to discharge from therapy for the time being. And you know what? I try to set them up for success. You know, I try to give them as much as they can in that short period. And if they have to go and then come back at a later time, that's completely fine too. But I at least want to set them up for success for the time being.
Well, I think we've all learned a lot here this morning. Christopher Yao, Doctor of Physical Therapy at JFK University Medical Center and JFK Johnson Rehab, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us and taking the time to speak.
Of course, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org. And if you want a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, it's brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk next week.